Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell and I am your host. I also do not have to know how to read a piece of paper. So that was a whole
debacle. I'm sorry, man. I'm gonna just mute my mic for the whole episode, dude. I took a oil of oregano pill because it's supposed to help with the immune system and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I keep burping up and it tastes like I just had a spoonful of oregano. I hate it. It's gross.
Oregano. Yeah.
No, it,
you got sold some bad shit, huh? Didn't you?
I don't hide that fact.
Just sprinkle some oregano in it.
Indigestion.
So obviously you're still feeling like shit for the people who didn't catch the live giveaway debacle. Sorry that you got the vid again on your birthday. That sucks. Yeah. I told you
stop
sucking on fingertips when you're out at events, bro. You don't know where people are putting their fingers.
You know, I didn't even think of that fact either, because I'm gonna have to call you, Mr. Rennie Doyle. I have to call you, man. I wasn't gonna release that picture, but now I think I'm gonna have to call your ass out.
It might trigger him.
Oh, that trigger.
It was his trigger finger too, wasn't it?
It was his damn trigger finger. God damn. Yeah. Shit, for everybody who's you'll get that inside joke on Friday.
You'll get it Sunday. That episode's gonna get released on Sunday. And Adam Garvin was a huge
inspiration
for that for that episode. So
him and Super Troopers.
Him and Super Troopers, exactly. All right, man. It's been a while since we've done this. It feels like. Hopefully we're not too rusty. So. We'll jump right into it. The DetailSolutionsPodcast.com is the only website and detailing you need. And it's basically because we have the best vendors on the planet. If you can't buy something from our vendors, then I don't know.
It's the one-stop shop.
It is.
Literally.
It is.
Our website has it all.
Excuse me, man. I think you gave it to me. I think I'm finally getting it. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, we listen. Our vendors legitimately have the best stuff. I mean, if it's not the main vendors, then the guys at Car Supplies Warehouse carry everything else.
And that's no fluff. That's no fluff.
Yeah,
we mean what we say. When we say that it is some of the best stuff out there, it's because we've used it, we've tried it, and we can say it.
Right.
We don't just say it because we get paid to say it. You know, we're not. We're not those regular influences that you used to, okay? Right, Alex?
Damn. Mr.
Influencer. Stats. I don't even like taking pictures with people at the airport.
Listen, you talk about how I'm rich. Stats just bought a Viper chair.
Good for you, bud.
Congrats, buddy. I hope it saved you. Appreciate it, yeah. So anyways, and Stats did use the coupon code, so he saved himself a little bit of money, and that's the beauty of our website is – with all of our vendors, you do get a coupon code. So when you spend some money with them, you save a little bit. They'll spend the money with us. We give you that funny hashtag money funny. And then also it has all the links to everywhere that you need to find the podcast, pretty much, social media, where you can listen to the podcast. And as always on Wednesdays and Fridays, when we record, we are live on YouTube. The Detail Solutions Podcast is our channel. So if you want to watch the shenanigans that goes on, we're talking about something with one of our guests and they're, talking about holding it or something like that, then that's where you want to go watch it. And the Detail Solutions Pod on TikTok, we are 404, getting close, but not too close to that 1,000 mark. Hopefully we really get there. It'd be pretty awesome. And it'd be pretty awesome to finally get to that 1,000 mark so we can start doing some live videos on there. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button anywhere that you're listening to us or watching us. The other thing that I would like to say is live count. Live count to 100K, man. We're so close. I can see it. We are 97,929 all-time total listens.
Ooh.
Our 3-year anniversary is going to be Tuesday the 25th. So when we do that Wednesday night podcast, man, I mean, I know 2,000 listens in and 2 weeks is a stretch.
We could do it.
But man, it sure would be nice to hit that 100K mark around the 25th. That would be phenomenal. I mean, we're averaging about 700 or 800 listens a week right now. So, you know, you guys bump them rookie numbers up, you know, get us to about 1,000 each, would be awesome. All right. So enough chit chatting, because apparently people don't like that. So we are going to jump into a commercial.
Yeah.
We're going to be right back with our guest. See you soon.
What an asshole.
Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads, towels, got them, windows, wheels, interiors, paint, the all new Mint on a Stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new Bug Sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two bucket system, glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube. Check out our channel. And in the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And in the new wheel pawl, for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes, and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer, and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
And we're back with Tony Geiger. How you doing?
Yes.
The one and only.
Hey, man.
Been a minute since you've been on the pod.
Mm.
So some big things have changed with you. You're now part of Audubon.
I am a territory manager now and a trainer now.
Congrats, man. Congrats. That's awesome, dude. So how's the you've always done PPF really, but you're not really detailing too much anymore now. So how's that switch up going?
I still get calls. So with our dealers, with our Audubon or Edge dealers, because we're actually three brands in one. So we're Hooper Optic, Audubon, and Edge. Audubon being our premier brand.
I thought you had a ghost in your room, bro.
Yeah, I know.
I am not gonna lie. I was about to be like, "Oh shit!"
Of course, we started when the dog runs in.
Yeah,
and there's a little tiny dog there. So
yeah,
but for our dealers, we offer trainings in Houston at our headquarters. But to certain dealers, I will venture out and I'll spend 3 days with them, whether it's in paint corrections, coatings, or PPF. So it's three hands-on days.
That's cool, man. So listen, so I invited you on because if anybody's read the description, you had a great post in your page, Realm of Coatings. I think it was like a week or so ago. and the post goes, with all the coatings on the market and the hype wearing off, detailers not promoting a brand as much, what will come next, right? So a lot of people can buy coatings now off of eBay and Amazon, AutoGeek, like you said, and they can apply it themselves. You know, everybody can watch a YouTube video nowadays, it seems like, or whatever. And then you said, you know, how are you justifying the price still to this day? You know, are you lowering the price, adding more services, or performing a higher level of paint refinement? And I really like that because I actually had a very similar topic idea that I had written down, and it was kind of along the same lines where, you know, now that coatings have been around for, you know, a few years and everything, and they're becoming so popular and so mm-hmm. saturated in the market and everything. And, you know, it's more of that race to the bottom versus the Dave Fromani raise your prices kind of deal. You know, like where do we go with it? It was kind of my idea, you know, like, is it time, like, you know, the $2,000 plus, you know, paint correction and coating days are done, you know, and now we're going to have to go to something a little more affordable, kind of like you said. Or, you know, is it adding more services, or, you know, doing something different that's going to kind of, justify those price points. So yeah, man, that's why I wanted to have you on. 'Cause I'm sure you asked that question, but I'm sure you have like a load of, you know, answers or suggestions or, you know, things like that, because.
Well, it's a lot of back and forth. So, I mean, with any situation, I try to look at both sides. So from a detailer's background, you know, back in the day before I was doing PPF, we always wanted to do full corrections before we ever put film on a vehicle.
Right.
Because, you know, it's in our eyes, we're trying to perfect a finish or get it to as close to perfection as possible. Then once becoming a PPF installer, it's like, okay, well, why are we degrading a finish, removing clear coat when we're going to put protection on it anyways, which is going to hide all those scratches.
Right.
So the justification process had to change because our goal as a detailer should be to protect and preserve. So we're not there to just strip away years of age from a car. So say it's a brand new car. You have one scratch on that panel. Is it worth sanding out that scratch to remove it now, or in 6 months to a year, are they going to have 10 more scratches? And now you've already sanded that area, so you've already shortened the lifespan of that panel.
Right.
So do we fix it now, or do we maybe reduce it some, or leave it alone until it's affected more down the road, and then we can address it.
Right. And two, with, you know, paints these days thinning, or being thinner on cars, you know, I look at it as, you know, who's really doing full on multi-step paint corrections anymore. Right. I mean, everything's getting so thin nowadays. Like you can pretty much use, you know, a single, you know, cut and polish or one step or, you know, something, because again, you're not wanting to take off too much paint. You want to leave it there for the client. So now if you're doing a one step and then you're coating it, you know, if you're not doing full paint correction and spending, you know, 20 plus hours on it, does it need that super high price point? Or now is it becoming one of those things where, you know, maybe you're just kind of taking advantage of the client and still charging a ton of money, but doing less work? You know, and I think it could still kind of be argued, you know, if you have the experience and the knowledge to know that less work is the right thing, then that's kind of where the.
Well, there's a point you have to call it quits.
Yeah. So like, yeah, no, but I meant like you could say like, you know, well, I'm justifying my price because yeah, I might not be doing as much work, mm-hmm. but you're also paying for the knowledge of me knowing that I can, you know, save your paint, save your clear coat by doing, you know, this, you know, versus maybe the guy who doesn't have the experience and is just going to, you know, throw a rotary on it with a wool pad and some 100 and just go, you know, crazy with it.
So there is that, but to that part of just, you know, throwing the heaviest, harshest product on there to then just cut it down and finish it out. There's that option. But the biggest thing that I'm seeing with, you know, guys that are either just getting into the detailing and want those high prices versus more well-established long-term detailers that have, you know, either tried to push it as far as they can and are now stepping back from that and seeing, okay, is it worth sacrificing the paint spending that kind of time on it versus a new guy that might not, you know, there's a difference in level of detail.
Yeah. Exactly.
So is it a wash and wax? Is it a one step polish? Is it a two or three step paint correction? Is there disassembly in the process? So, I mean, when I first started, it was, you know, just a one step polish back in the day and clean up as much as you could, fill it in as much as possible. And then it got to the point of let's remove the filling capabilities and let's try to actually fully correct a panel. Right. And then it was, okay, well, have we corrected it too far? What is too far? And what negative impact have we created on that car? So a lot of the newer detailers, I won't say a lot, but some new detailers just want the money aspect of it and maybe the fame that comes with working on a high-end car versus actually putting in the time and effort to pay attention to what exactly they're doing. Are they burning edges? Are they checking for thinned areas of paint? Are they trying to go 100% or are they removing things to clean and detail? There's multiple different levels. So,
yeah,
but your pricing has to match that level.
Right.
And most of them don't.
Yeah. So one of the things that Noxy told me that always made sense, and I think some detailers kind of get it backwards, and, you know, I'll throw it out there to you to kind of, you know, see what you think is, you know, typically we'll use that $2,000 price point because it was a fairly average for most coatings. It seems like around the country. So most people will say, well, $1,500 of that is for the ceramic and $500 of it is for paint correction, right?
The opposite.
Right. But it should be the opposite because it doesn't matter. I mean, let's face it. I've said it all the time. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. You know, it might not be 100% right, but it's same shit, different bottle for the most part, right? Any coat.
All the same, pretty much the same application process. There's nothing really different.
Difference in gloss, hydrophobic, and chemical resistance.
Right. But for the client, you could put five different coatings on five different cars, and they're not going to be able to tell the difference sitting out in the sun.
Right.
You know,
if it's hydrophobic to them,
that's right.
Look at
and it's pretty glossy, much happy. Right. Which they all pretty much are, and it's glossy to them. They all pretty much are. So where you're spending the most time, labor, energy, you know, chemicals and everything is in your paint correction. So your paint correction should be that $1,500 charge. And then your coating should be $500 or $1,000 or $1,500 on top of it. Yeah. Well, I mean, Dave Fermani, you know, you know, but that's where I think detailers kind of get it wrong. And I was telling Jason the other day, I mean, the way I kind of look at it is, you know, who cares what paint correction costs, what ceramic coating costs. If you're an hourly shop, you know, I try to be around $100 an hour in my shop. So if it takes me if it takes me like eight to 12 hours to do a correction or, you know, paint correction and polish out and hand wash and decon and all that stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's where my $800 to $1,200, you know, dollar price point should be. Then I'll charge my coating price on top of that. Now with C-Quartz Pro being two layers. Now there's 2 hours there plus an hour in between. So there's another hour, you know, so I've got to be charging another $300 plus chemical costs. If I'm using something like Aquatech, that's a single layer, you know, then good I'm stuff. less labor time, right? So I could potentially charge the client a little bit less, still give them an equally great product, but just the savings is in my labor, right? I'm not having to spend as much. And that's where I think, you know, detailers should really be looking at it.
I have something to say to that too, also, because Bill Martin brings up a good point. He says the DIY could buy everything he needs for $400 to $500 to do a good one step in coating, and or pay me to do it. And he says that his 1,000 one step in coating will turn out better. And he's absolutely right, because he does have the experience that he gained while doing that. But also, he also is buying equipment that costs more. So you got to add that into your factor too. Like everything you're using for a paint correction, whether it be your machine, your pad, your extension cords, your lights, your product, as far as your compound polishes, all that's going to be way more to buy than it is just a bottle of coating and an applicator and a couple towels.
Well, and to add to that, how long is it going to take him to learn how to be proficient with those?
Right, right. So, yeah. And he says he's not changing his prices. And Bill, I don't think we're telling you to tell anybody to change your price. We're just trying to tell people on how to come up with their price and to do a better job at that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, there's ways I've really thought, like, how could I offer a more affordable ceramic coating price, right? I mean, with C-Quartz Professional, Corey for the guys here in Florida, and I don't know how he does it by region or area or whatever, but we all kind of stick to a $2,000 starting point for correction. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, for correction and coating, right? I think Corey has it at like $1,500 for the coating, and then you charge whatever else you want for your correction, right? But all the guys here, we kind of go, hey, look, you know, $2,000 is a great point because we're keeping Corey happy. Hello, did I lose him?
I hear you.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Hang on, time out. My battery's died in the thing. I gotta go get batteries. Good you guys, talk right. amongst yourselves. I gotta go get batteries.
Damn it.
Please.
In regards to pricing, because I get this question asked a lot of times by either our new dealers or Audubon or Edge dealers, because we do automotive window tint, flat glass within Hooper Optic and Edge, but we do paint protection foam and coatings through our company. So guys that are coming on board and that are using our coatings are like, okay, well, how do I structure it when it comes to selling the product? We're including a paint correction. So do I do a bundled package price where it's like my first package is $800, my second is $1,000, $1,500, $2,000? And I tell them, no, don't bundle things because you end up losing money potentially within the clients. So what we do is we say, you know, evaluate the vehicle because first of all, you want them in your shop. So if they're willing to make a phone call and you tell them, you know, I'm not going to give you price over the phone. I don't post a price on my website unless it's a starting at price because I need to see that vehicle to actually be able to determine what kind of work it actually needs. Also, the client's expectations. If you choose to do a test spot on the vehicle to find out, you know, how quickly it's going to correct or not, that's going to tell you how long it's going to take to get to their desired outcome. So we do pricing by the paint correction level, and then your coating prices are going to be set prices. So whether you have a 1 year, a 3 year, 5 year, right. seven, however, those are set prices, which is just an add-on. So once you come up with your pricing for your paint correction, then you can either do, you know, wax, sealant, coating, and then your different tiers of coating.
That's perfectly said. Because like, that's how I did it all the time.
Well, because it's not my money to spend. It's their money to spend. And they might have a budget. They might not have a budget. But if you're just going to say, here's my bundled package and it's $800 or it's $2,500, they're going to be like, oh, I don't have that kind of money.
Right.
But I still want something done to my car. So what can you do for me then? So if you do the paint correction tiering, and then you can add on your additional protective services. And that seems to work much better than just here's my one package and that's all you get kind of thing.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I offer, you know, the hybrid polish, the 2.5 step or the 1.5 step, whatever you guys want to call
still
it.
Two steps.
Yeah, you know, what I mean? Yeah. However you want to call it. Whoever
terminology whoever came, is so fucked
right.
up.
Whoever came
if you
up
are with, physically doing another process, it is a second step.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's the same product.
Yeah, I know
you just change a pad. It's a second process.
Yeah, I know, but I guess the thing is they call it a half step because when you're polishing, you're not you're not really polishing. You're just buzzing.
Who calls it a
still
half step?
You're still refining.
I know. Listen, I'm just telling you.
Who calls it the half step?
I think supposedly Kilmer.
We can get technical with this. Yeah.
Supposedly Kilmer came up with it. So don't
come. We're gonna have to bring Kilmer on and
let me call him real quick.
Yeah, get him on the phone, man.
Get him on the phone and ask him about the one and a half step. You know, I know Noxie calls it the hybrid polish. I call it a hyper polish because I'm speeding around. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll do that because I'm not shooting for, you know, full on paint correction. You know, I'm going to make it look as nice as a client can. I'll throw a single layer of ceramic on top of it and, you know, $800,000-$900,000 be affordable for a client, you know, give them that budget friendly option.
Well, I mean, a lot of guys don't like primers, but now some of the products that are coming out with added protection. I mean, Rupus just came out with two different ones with a 6 month and a 12 month longevity. Mm-hmm. And they hold up really well. I mean, even acrylic, which I mean, some guys classify as a coating, even though it's still acrylic, dealerships put it on. Some of, you know, the ones that actually do apply it, they are pretty hardy when it comes to chemical resistance.
They just don't have the longevity.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what is it? Essence or Essence Plus is kind of the same thing. You know, you could throw that on there and it's got a little bit of protection.
Yeah, because Essence Plus was a non-abrasive, originally designed to aid in fixing
coatings or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Fixing.
Yeah. Things. Yeah. Did you lose us?
Screen on blank there for a second.
We're all over the place with this podcast today. My battery's died.
Dude, I don't know if you're because we could still hear you through the mic. And is your mic connected to the thing?
No. It kicked me to the computer.
Oh, computer mic. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But no, I wanted to go find batteries because I didn't, you know, with all the issues we have with computer mics, I didn't want to pick up any echoing or whatever. So that's why I just ran out and. Thankfully, we had two AA batteries left, so I guess I'll be going to the store with AA batteries.
Oh man,
yeah, that's the one thing about this new mixer is its battery instead of being plugged in like the other one was, but it is easier to use and everything. Well, shoot, let's do this while we're kind of like in a. And a little whatever. Let's go ahead and jump into our break, and then we'll come back and talk about this a little bit more. We'll be right back.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
I want to jump back to Stats's question. So Stats asked me what my favorite coding is. And honestly, Stats, it's the one that makes me money.
I'll just say I've used probably about 20 different coatings.
Yeah.
Side by side over the years. And there's some that I don't like, which I'm not going to bash any names here. But there are a lot of very equally matched coatings when it comes to the gloss fires that are used, the ease of application, ease of wipe off, longevity, hydrophobics. I mean, anymore, it's a pretty even playing ground. The biggest difference is going to be how thick a product can be applied in its first application. So single layer application.
Right.
And then, you know, it's ease of wipe off and durability.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much how I look at it. Is it easy to put on? Is it easy to get off? What's the customer service like? If I have an issue, how easy is it to get an answer? You know, cost. Because, I mean, let's face it, some ceramic coatings are just getting a little bit pricey now. I mean, when they're in that north of 200 range, getting into 250, close to 300, like, come on, man. Like,
well, and then you go to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and some are just 30 mls or even 25 in some cases.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all bugging. Y'all tripping. I don't want to hear none of that inflation bullshit either. Y'all tripping, selling 30, 50 mils for two plus. What the hell?
Well, that also comes down to, you know, the brand is obviously not typically making the product themselves. They're relying on a manufacturer or a blender for that. So depending on the size of the blender, they might not have as much raw materials. So therefore, if they have less raw materials, then they charge you more. Or if you're buying it in smaller batches, they're going to charge you more for that as well versus a large run of it, because now they're, you know, they'll set it all up. They'll order enough or have enough raw materials, create the larger batch, so that therefore its price per bottle is less.
Yeah.
If they can back it up with that product for that price point, I'm all for it. But
right,
some people out there who just like to jack it up to make it seem like it's those products and they're really not.
Well, it's supposed to be the greatest product on earth. It's gotta be charged that price, right?
Always.
But there also could be a matte pricing thing.
That too.
Yeah. So kind of going back to what you were saying in your posts is, you know, how are you going to justify the higher pricing, you know, doing add-ons or better service or things like that. I want to talk about add-ons because that's something that I'll do sometimes. You know, I'll give somebody a free, you know, wheel face coating. You know, normally I charge like $300 to do wheel faces, but in reality, like, how long does it take to do wheel faces? You know, 10, 15 minutes, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, I'll just use, whatever's left in the bottle that I coated the car with, you know, versus using like the dedicated wheel. Cause at that point I'm not selling the wheel coating. I'm not selling it as a designed for wheels. Hey, look, I'll put a wheel coating on for you. We'll do it at no extra charge because you're, you know, already paying X amount of dollars or whatever for correction and coating or whatnot. Glass coating's another thing that's super easy to do. Doesn't take a lot of time. Doesn't take a lot of product. You know, hey, I'll give you a $100 glass coating, no additional charge.
Are you doing plastics?
I'm not a fan of coating plastics.
Either.
Because talking with Chris West, even though from the way that he kind of talked about it is even though ceramics are breathable, they will dry plastics out. So if I do anything with plastics and again, this would be like a throw in as I'll hit them with a solution finish and just, you know, bring them back, make them look, you know, nice and new and fresh again.
So I choose that, not that, to use.
Go ahead, Bruno. Confuses me a little bit because, and this is, I'm not trying to call nobody out and make a knock on anything, but like years ago, people were topping the solution finish with a ceramic coating.
Yeah.
So that well, now is it to my like is that like locking in that solution finish?
So yeah, originally that's what Chris West would recommend. If you're going to do it, put solution finish and on first, so solution finish could kind of keep it black, okay. Right? But if you remember when we had Chris West on, he's since come out with that topper that he makes a protectant.
That's right. Okay.
That he really suggests if you do solution finish, then you top it with his topper because it's not a coating. It'll lock in a little bit of longevity.
Well, there's also the issue of, you know, there's several different coatings out there, whether they're resin based or solvent based. So if you're using a solvent over top of it, you could be removing that product.
Yeah.
So you don't want to necessarily remove it. You want to keep it on there and still be able to put something on top of it to.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, I mean, those are a couple of the things that I would do as an add-on to try and help justify pricing. I mean, have you done other things or different things, Tony, or people do other things? I mean,
a lot of people do interior. So if it's a newer vehicle, you know, coating leather, which is another thing I don't suggest doing. I mean, I know there's countless companies out there with leather coatings. It nearly cost us $14,000 on one vehicle from a coating on a brand new car straight off the transport truck to us. Wow. And since then, that company's revised the product, but I still would not suggest using it. And I mean, what I use is I use collar lock. My truck has leather, real leather seats. I clean them, put a sealant on top of them. That sealant is extremely easy to apply, to level.
Oh, yeah.
Shield. Reapplication of it's. I mean, it's dummy proof versus a coating that's still going to take wear and tear. And I mean, once you wear through the top of it, now what? You just charge them how much money to coat their leather?
Yeah.
Versus I look at it as, you know, if I have my detail shop, instead of coating it once and saying that it's going to last a year, 2 years or 3 years. And I know that, you know, they're going to wear and tear on this. They might have kids that are climbing in and out, dragging their feet on stuff. It's not going to actually live up to that expectation. So why don't we just have them as a repeat customer with a sealant? So now I'm getting additional services and income from them, and they're still going to be happy. I mean, it's super easy for me to be able to clean the seat and apply this. They can get the car. They can jump right back in it within half hour, you know, down the road versus it sitting there for hours waiting on it to, you know, fully cure.
Right, right. And again, like you said, I mean, most of the cars that, you know, majority of us are getting to do coatings and stuff like that are going to be newer cars. So interiors, especially with leather, it's super easy at that point because they haven't.
What about windows?
Mm-hmm. You can coat windows.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys offer that as an add-on as well?
Yeah. I mean, like I'll do an add-on for windshield coat. Like, you know, especially obviously here in Florida with all the rain and everything, like I'll say, hey, you know, normally I charge $100 to do a windshield coating, but you know, you got a pretty big ticket. You know, I'll throw that in for you. You know, make them feel. I mean, it's $100. You know,
make them feel good.
Right. $100 is a lot to them for what they're already paying. But at the same time, like, what does it take me? 5 minutes, 10 minutes max to wipe a window down.
Yeah,
clean it up real good, and then you know, put a layer of coating on and wipe it off. Like,
and it's not a lot of product you're using for it either. You know,
no. Most of the time, I'll just use. I mean, it's not going to last, no matter what you put on, it isn't going to last very long, especially if they're using the wipers on, you know, if they don't.
I was gonna say, set that expectation realistically with them.
Right. Yeah. You know, so I tell them like, hey, look, this is going to last as long as it lasts, because if you use your wipers a lot, it's going to wear. And they understand, you know, like you tell them, like, you put something on and you do this and you do this and you do this, it's going to eventually wear. So, you know, I tell them like, hey, you know, you get a few months, you get 6 months, you get 8 months, you know, it all just depends. But typically I'll just throw on whatever leftover in the bottle from what I put on the car. I'm a leftover guy, dude, especially if I'm doing it for free. Like, let's use up what's left in the bottle I'm using. Let's not go out and spend more money.
Like, this isn't enough to finish a whole panel. So
right.
Right. It's either going to go to waste because I don't want to. Here's the other thing. So if you're doing a coating job and you say you have half a bottle left or less, and you're like, okay, I'm going to use this bottle until it's empty, and then I'll open up another bottle.
Yeah.
Would you do that, or would you just be like, no, I'll set that one aside and I will use a full bottle on this car?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The leftover, like I said, the leftover one gets the leftover work. Wheel faces, windshields, you know, door jams if I throw that in as a, you know, whatever, or trunk jam if it's a, you know, especially like Range Rovers or even like X series BMWs, because they kind of have that double, you know, flip or whatever. And the top one always kind of leaves some kind of wear or tear on the bottom little door. So, you know, I'll coat that, you know, so again, that's leftover bottle.
That's a huge thing too, for SUVs, man. If you're coating an SUV, try to sell them on that back door jam, man. Those things get nasty.
I mean, you don't even have to sell it. You'd be like, hey, look, I'll throw it in for you.
Yeah, you can throw it in for
you.
Normally
it's another 20, 30 bucks, whatever. I gotcha.
But you did paint correction before putting it on, right?
Yeah, of course.
The whole door jam?
Of course.
But you see, that's the difference.
Did that like I did the rockers, bro.
Yeah. Dude, so you don't wait. Wait a second. All right. Do you add on rocker panels?
No, I saw that comment earlier. No, rockers are never an add-on.
Well, if I take it off the car, do I need to put it back on?
Then? Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, Tony probably does this as an add-on because he will take rocker panels off. Me, I just look at him and go, they look good enough.
Well, I mean, back in the day, which I mean, I still take some stuff apart, but I mean, I just got to the point. So that was how to set myself apart from other detailers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when everybody classified themselves as, you know, a pro, which, you know, anybody can be a pro as long as you're making money doing it, essentially.
Right. Right.
Exactly. That's what that equates to. So, okay, if I'm going to do a full paint correction, what's full paint correction? Are you just skimming the surface one pass? That's full paint correction. Or are you doing every crack and crevice, doing door jams? Are you taking things off, cleaning behind them? So,
Debug.
So that's why, like, taking cars apart was to show that, you know, we are going above and beyond to set ourselves apart from other shops.
Right.
To claim to do a full paint correction or, you know, full decon or anything like that. And then when it came to doing PPF, that just made it a lot easier because we're already taking things apart to, you know, wrap edges and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if I had Dave Fermani's clientele, I'd start learning how to pull shit apart and off cars and,
well, I mean, he's,
and do it like that. Cause it's worth it at that point. I mean, if you're getting paid, you know, because again, that's the thing. If you're going to pull things apart, and I'm not trying to razz on Dave. I think what he does is awesome, but you know, if you're legitimately going to pick every stone out of the tread of the tire, if you're going to scrub the inside sidewall with, you know, tire cleaner and dress that as well, if you're going to, you know, pull this off and clean behind there or whatever, it's all labor, it's all time, right? So you've got to charge for it. And again, you know, I mean, these guys that are doing concourse level 100-hour, 300-hour, you know,
Eddie Fusa does the same thing essentially.
Right.
But I mean he'll do recrinkle paint on Ferrari valve covers and everything.
Yeah. That's nuts. He can make it, paint it new paint, but make it look like old paint. Like, you know, like it's awesome, you know,
we did the opposite of that. Theo and I, a couple years back in Vegas, we had a 64 AC Shelby Cobra with numbers matching come in. The owner had the back wheels replaced, not the tires, but the wheels themselves.
Okay.
So those ones, which were brand new, clearly did not match the front.
Right.
They're magnesium wheels. So he wanted us to try to make them look like the front. So it took us about 4 days of basically doing a chemistry set and then testing it on these wheels because we want to age it to match the front.
Right.
But we don't want to continue it aging faster than what it should be.
Right.
So 4 days of messing around with that and a couple phone calls to some people. And we got them matched and took it back over to Shelby America, which was right across the highway from us. And they're like, how'd you guys do that? We're like, you want this done again, you send the cars to us. Like,
yeah.
That's a trade secret that we're not giving out. So
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to put in the time to do it, then you should definitely be, you know, rewarded for, you know, or compensated for it. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's just the thing, right? I mean, shit, I'd love to do it if I had people that are willing to pay it, but a lot of clients just don't care, man. It's like, make it shiny, you know, protect it. I know I should be paying between $1,500 and $2,000-ish. So as long as you're in that price point, they're happy with it for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to say that you've done that kind of work, but you also get, you know, I mean, I've spent a month in a car before, and I love the fact that I got to work on the car when it first showed up. But after a month, I was like, I can't wait for this car to be gone. Yeah. I don't ever see it. I don't want to touch it again. And then you start to think about, like, was it worth spending all that time on it? Like,
yeah.
I mean, yes, you get the gratification saying that, yes, you did that work, and then people can go and see that work, but it can get exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the flip side is, could you do one car a month and make a big giant paycheck, or do 30 small cars in a month and make the same amount of money, right? Smaller paychecks, but you're doing
but what is your reach at that point too?
Yeah.
So if you're only working on, I mean, we had basically two large collectors. One had 75 cars in his collection. There were months where we only worked on his car. So you have one person that you're essentially reaching. And if, you know, half of those cars were never allowed to be photoed or posted, at least.
Right.
So it doesn't look like you're actually doing anything. So for social media purposes, that can kind of hinder your business because you're not relevant essentially at that point.
Yeah.
Unless you have, you know, backlogged photos that you're now starting to just put out to show that you've done work. Compared to doing multiple cars, you can post more as long as the client is willing to allow that. And then you can actually, you're reaching more people. So you can potentially get more word of mouth that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I guess that's kind of depends on where you want to go with it, with your business. You know, again, Dave's very fortunate. He's got one client that will always feed him work because of the way that the business is. He doesn't have to worry about advertising, you know, or, you know, what has he got next week or whatever. You know, I think Eddie's kind of similar. Eddie has different clientele, but they all have enough cars that kind of keep him busy, and then it's word of mouth from them, so he doesn't have to do any advertising, you know.
I mean, I was reached out to by a private collector a couple years back when I was subcontracted in Porsche, and this client happens to have a very vast Porsche collection, and basically being the sole detailer and car handler for him. But you have to be careful with those people, first of all. When you take on a position like that, I don't know exactly what Fermani's is. I feel like his might be a little bit more to his favor, which is good because you decided to take that role.
Right, right.
But the one that reached out to me was, I mean, you're at his beck and call. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You need to live close. Lives in a very expensive area, so therefore your pay needs to, you know, be able to accommodate those housing needs. And at that point, do you have much of a life? You know, I have a wife and two kids. And
yeah, exactly.
I want to spend time with them.
Right, right.
I mean, work is one thing, but you still have to have family time.
Right, yeah. And then that goes back to the thing that we always preach, you know, of the, the work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy like me doesn't want to work that much anymore. I'd rather be home, hanging out.
That's why I took the job.
I
had a picture pop up in my memories on Facebook, and I was at Porsche, and it was 3:30 in the morning, and here I was finishing a full body PPF job. And
that's crazy, man.
And I'm looking back at it like, why did I ever do that?
Right?
I didn't get paid enough to do that. Nobody cared that I was there that late.
Yeah.
The car didn't even leave the next morning like it was supposed to. You know, it left 2 weeks later. And I sacrificed my time for what?
Yeah.
To say that I finished the car on time.
Your time, your body, your health. Yeah.
Right.
Because it's not good to be up at those hours of the night.
No, I mean, I still had an hour drive home after that.
Oh, jeez.
And to go back in the next day. So,
like that. Listen, let's jump into our last commercial break, and then we'll start winding this down. We'll be right back.
Tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out, going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet, and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Get in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah. So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name's Alan Medcraft, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper's giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
All right, and we're back. So, and then kind of lastly, you said on that, we'll kind of wrap it up. we might have kind of touched a little bit on it. Was the last question was kind of, you know, are you performing a higher level of paint refinement to kind of justify that pricing? so what would you kind of consider, you know, a higher level of paint refinement to justify that if they're already quote unquote doing a paint correction?
That's going to be a tough challenge for the customer without seeing, you know, either step-by-step photos or any kind of documentation of previous cars or ongoing work. So whether they are, you know, well, this is, I just say one thing, it's going to come down to what condition the vehicle is to start with. So if it's a, you know, tunnel washed car for 10 years versus, you know, brand new car off the lot.
Yeah.
Tunnel washed car that they're wanting, say it's Corvette, you know, and their Corvette owner, they've towel dried it at car shows multiple times. You know, they put the hairline scratches in it now, but they want a perfect show car finish now. So we have enough paint to be able to work and correct it. Enough clear coat, because we're not actually dealing with paint, we're dealing with clear.
Right.
It's single stage. That's misconception with a lot of customers when they come in. It's like, well, you're gonna refine the paint, right? No, we're not refining paint, we're refining the clear.
Yeah.
You need to actually educate them in the process. We're not removing the red if it's a red car, unless it's a tinted clear.
Yeah.
And that's where some detailers freak out that have never worked on a tinted car before.
Oh, it's
all those Ford guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, my pad's red. What did I do?
Yeah. It's, well, I mean, it's funny to watch, but then it's like,
yeah.
Well, so here's something that a lot of people don't think about is when you're working with tinted vehicles, like say it's a Ford F-150 with, you know, the red candy coat on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you are removing a scratch out of, you know, say the bedside, how deep is that scratch? And then if you have to sand it to remove it, what do you think that bedside is going to look like now? Because now you've thinned out the clear, and typically the top is the tinted coat.
Yeah.
So if you're sanding past that, do you think that's going to be a large blemish in the side of the vehicle now?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be worse than that scratch probably was.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you see pictures of cars that have, like, just oxidized areas on it, and it's like random patches. And you're like, well, why did that one spot only oxidize and turn white where the rest of the hood looks fine? It's not necessarily just the vehicle sitting outside in direct sunlight. It's because that vehicle's been polished on too much. So that's the impacted area where it's thinner paint.
Right, right. could we also say maybe wet sanding goes into that, you know, adding more to the refinement stage, you know, if you wanted a wet sand. Michael McCarthy loves to wet sand cars.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well, especially but it also comes down to, okay, why are you wet sanding it? Are they expecting removal of orange peel? Because if you're asking for removal of orange peel on current day production painted cars, I would never suggest that. The reason why the orange peel is in there is because those panels are not perfect. So therefore that's the dealer or the manufacturer's way of a cover up essentially.
Yeah.
So instead of a perfectly smooth and straight panel, we'll add orange peel, we'll mask that, it'll hide that.
Yeah.
And most people are just going to be like, okay, you know, it's a shiny car. We don't necessarily care about the orange peel unless it's, you know, one of those show car guys that, well, this car's got tons of orange peel. I don't sand this out of there. I want it smooth. Well,
yeah.
Back in the day, you had enough clear coat to work with, but not anymore.
Yeah. That was one of the things I never thought about, or I didn't know until when I spoke with Jason Rose in Chicago, and he was talking about the orange peel, you know, being put in there to mask things. Cause especially, from the assembly line, they're like, oh shit, here's a little thing, you know, a little whatever. Well, we have to, you know, spot weld it, or we have to, you know, whatever, you know, put something on there. And it wasn't until he said that it kind of made sense to me, because I almost kind of, it triggered me back to talking with Christian, the painter that's near me and who listens to the podcast. What's up, Christian, if you're listening. But he was talking about, like, with, you know, painting, the reason why they texture paint on a wall or texture drywall or whatever is because if you, you know, had to make a patch, you know, cut the drywall and make a patch and you didn't texture it, you would see that. So like you said, like they're putting that orange peel on there to hide whatever mistakes or whatever they may had to fix in, you know, in the finish line or whatever. And that was something that was pretty interesting to me until I, you know, found that out, or, you know, once I found that out, made a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, denim pads, CarPro sells those. I would say a safer approach to trying to remove orange peel, but
yeah,
unless you're working on an older vehicle or even a repainted vehicle, I wouldn't suggest it in current day.
Yeah,
paint systems.
Paint's too thin these days, it seems like.
And I mean, that's the other thing is, like, if you're going to claim that you're going to do a multi-step paint correction and you haven't seen the vehicle, but that's what you're going to charge the client, you're really opening yourself up to a can of worms. Cause
yeah,
if you just go at the car with the heaviest pad and abrasive that you have, you could be blown right through that clear, especially on any edges or, you know, thinner spots on the car. It might've been a touch up or a sanding nib that has already been sanded on either by factory at port or even at the dealership before you ever received that car.
Right. Yeah.
I saw that all the time at Porsche. I mean, car comes in damaged, or, you know, from the time it got to port to the dealer, something happened to the car. It wasn't disclosed, so we don't know what's going on with it as a dealer or detailer, and we just go and attack it. And then you have burned areas, you got sanding marks, dieback in the paint, all kinds of issues you can run into.
Right, right. Stats is back, so we get in the podcast. No, but it's that time anyways. No, listen, I think it's all great information. Bill Martin says most nibs and imperfections have completely flat spots around them. Won't touch it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with that. What about a boot mark, Bill? dealing with them boot marks on hoods.
I saw that done in person.
Yeah, so have I. And I'm sure people that are attending Gloss University at the end of the month at Ring Brothers will see it again because Noxie's there.
and that was not a brand new boot out of a box. That was a dirty boot.
that was a nasty ass boot. Yeah, that was good stuff. Listen, Tony, we appreciate you coming on, man. I'm so glad that you made that post, because, like I said, I've been trying to figure out a way to kind of have this this conversation. I think it's I think it's one that kind of fits right now, you know, I mean, especially with, you know, how wacky everything kind of is, you know, interest rates are high. Not a lot of people are buying new cars. You know, the economy's weird, the, you know, everybody's slow, but nobody's slow apparently, like, you know, depending on who you talk to either way. So it's one of those things that kind of made me think like, man, like, you know, do I need to maybe figure out a cheaper way to do, you know, what I'm doing for the client, but still be able to, you know, put out a quality product. You know,
I would say no.
Well,
don't do a cheaper thing.
Well, not cheaper, but I mean, like, you know, instead of spending the time doing a two layer, do I get a single layer? So I'm cutting hours out there, you know, do I do a, you know, one step polish on a new car, because that's probably all it needs, versus doing a two step and I'm cutting out hours there so I can do, I mean, cheaper for the client, not yeah, cheaper in the sense, well, of work.
Justify, right? The services that they need.
Right.
And actually, you know, that's one of the things, is educating yourself and the potential customer on what services do you really need versus what you think you might want.
Yeah.
Because their perception can be totally different than what yours is.
Yeah.
So exactly. That's being able to read the customer, having the appropriate questions to ask, and then spending the time to educate them. Because that's what a lot of people don't want to do. They just want, just give me the car, let me get the work done, let me get paid. But you still need to spend that time with them, whether you have a receptionist, secondhand is going to be dealing with it. So either one person's doing paint work already, or the other one is, you know, having that communication with them.
Right.
Showing before and after photos is always good, to be able to text them, send it in an email. That is a justification of the work that you're performing, because sometimes they will forget what the car looked like when they dropped it off.
Right.
Then they will see the car and not see the transition necessarily, because it might be a week or 2 weeks depending on what service you're providing.
Yeah.
So showing them those before and afters or progress photos puts that in their memory of, oh man, this is what my car is turning into. This looks great. I can't wait to see what it's going to look like when it's done. And already at that point, they're like, wow, now I know that what I spent is actually what I'm getting.
Exactly. And they're excited because they're seeing that in photos, and they're like, oh man, it's going to look so much better in real life.
Now that's going to be done 2 days early, right? I can come and pick it up sooner.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the gentleman I'm doing his wife's new Honda Accord for next week. I did his like 6-year-old, what was it, F-150 or whatever last week. And I did the same thing. I sent him some, because he kept texting me. He's like, how's it going? So I would send him some progress videos, like, you know, like, hey, like, you know, look how it's cleaning up. The scratch over here is now gone, you know. So he was really excited by the time he got to the shop. And then, of course, you know, he sees it and all the lights in the shop and it's nice and shiny and glossy. And he was, you know, over the moon about it. That's when he was like, okay, wife's getting a new car in like 2 weeks. We'll be back, kind of thing. And sure enough, he did. So.
Well, and here's some, from a sales side perspective, don't be the one that just wants to offer the product. You want to build a service that the person wants.
Right, exactly.
So don't just be like, well, this is what I have to offer. Well, I don't want any of that, but this is what I want.
Yeah.
Build that want so that the customer comes to you willing to want that services that you have to offer.
Right. And that's why I like to do the good, better, best, you know, because then you're not directly telling the client, you know, that you want them to spend the most amount of money with the best, but you're subliminally putting it in their mind like, oh, the best, like, yeah, I want the best, you know,
I don't want the worst,
right?
Yeah, I always want the best, but it's whether I can afford or not.
Right, exactly. But that's the thing, is I like giving them the options, because at the end of the day, you know, for me, I'm gonna make my money regardless, you know, if it's you know, making $500 or $600, I'm going to do it in half a day and be done with it. And I'll just book something out the next day, the next 2 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm going to book something for, you know, $2,000 plus, and I'm going to have it for 2 days, 2.5 days, you know, I'm going to make my money either way. I want the customer to pick what's right for them, because then I don't want them to think that I bullied them or pressured them or, you know, gave them the wrong thing. So yeah, you're right. Build something that works for the client. You know, I always tell the client, like, you know, I don't care either way. I'm getting your money, you know. Just which one do you want?
As long as they book with you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, all right. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on. You want to give shout out to any of your Audubon stuff? If somebody wants to reach out to you, if somebody's looking for window tent or PPS. Yeah,
I mean, so we stuff. Audubon, we based here in Houston, Texas. We offer automotive window tint, paint protection film, ceramic coatings. And then we also, within our store, our website, we are partnered with Rupus, the rag company, and Autofiber Fusion Tools. So we actually have tools as well to offer. So Audubon or Edge. Audubon is territory restricted, so we don't overlap dealers. Edge, you can be mobile or fixed shop. There are no territory boundaries for you.
Yeah. Nice, man. Okay. So we'll chat at you soon.
Pleasure, guys.
Hopefully.
Thanks for coming on, man. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
We could totally go down the rabbit hole. Way more.
Yeah. We could. I think it might get too far for some people. We've been told, you know, it's weird, you know, like some people tell us they wish we would do more of those 3-hour episodes that we did. And then some people, you know, kind of, you know, think that we should do a half hour episode. I think a half hour is too short. So we keep it around an hour, be done with it. But yeah, man, as always, love it. Love you coming on. Appreciate everything. My dog's barking for some dumbass reason, so I'm gonna just kick this out, man. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Appreciate you guys. All right,
man. So hopefully we gave some people some ideas on, you know, what they can do. Hopefully in this time of, you know, questionable pricing and coatings and all that fun stuff. So shut up. Sorry. Anymore. I don't even know what he's barking at. Like, so yeah, man. I hope you feel better.
I'm just eating Pez.
Yeah. I hope you feel better.
I'm getting there.
When we go to SEMA, you don't suck on any fingers. Trigger fingers. You don't know where them trigger fingers have been. Triggers are dirty.
I'm telling you right now, dude. I'm sorry if anybody lives in Seattle. That city sucks.
Yeah, you were not a fan.
I hate that city.
You were not a fan. Yeah. So, all right, man. I'm going to go figure out what the fuck my dog is barking at and get this thing
going. Thanks for everybody tuning in.
Yep. Thanks, everybody, tuning in. We appreciate it as always. Let's get to that 100K in 2 weeks. Please, please. Also, let's get to that 1,000 on TikTok. We're only like 600 away. So, yeah. All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Have a good day. Night, weekend, whatever it is. Thanks. Bye.